Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Utsava Darshana Bhavishyotara. Hratastam ye nirikshante koti kenapi keshavam devatanam ganasarve bhavanti sopachadaya. Seeing the festivals of the Lord, dog eaters and other low persons who joyfully see Lord Keshava on his chariot all become associates of the Lord. So Jiva Goswami says, although it's mentioning the Rath Utsav, the Rath Yatra, it refers to all other festivals as well. Janmashtami or Julan Yatra or different festivals we have for the deities. If one takes part in those festivals and sees them, then he, as it says here, it says that even these low-born or whatever, they will all become associates of the Lord. Devatanam gana sarve bhavanti. So this again is emphasizing tremendous power of one very simple limb of devotion. Go to the festival, go to the party. We like parties, we like happenings, we like music, we like dance, we like entertainment and culture. And eating food, and the Lord in his Nara Leela, he does all these things. He has festivals, he has parties, he has a birthday party. Like we have a birthday party, and people sing and dance and exchange gifts and give food. So the Lord has his Janmashtami, and we do all the same things. But simply by taking part in these festivals, we can Devatanam Ganam, we can become an associate of the Lord. And this is next verse. This is 1:2:169. Adi shabdena puja darshanam, pujitam pujamanam va yapashyed bhaktito harim, shadaya modamanas tu sop yoga phalam labet. Agni Puran is telling, one who sees the Lord with devotion, faith, and joy, after he is worshipped or while he's being worshipped, attains eternal service of the Lord. So, it's interesting that there are some requisites, some requirements here to attain this eternal service of the Lord. And one must have faith, shraddha, and bhakti, and be joyful. So, it's very interesting to see the Lord. Sometimes in some temples you can see a lot of the worship. You can see an artik, and some temples they do open door bathing. You can see them bathe Haridev sometimes. Or even in Balaji Mandir or Tirupati, Balaji, Venkateshwara. You pay different amounts of donations, and then you can have darshan of Mangal Artik, and then afterwards 50 or 60 people can sit there in front of the Archimurti and watch the pujaris elaborately undress and bathe the Lord. We can see that. So that seeing the Lord wants us to be happy when we see him. But oftentimes people go to see the Lord when they're unhappy. That's why they go. They go to see the Lord when they're unhappy. They say, oh, I'm distressed. Like in the West, Christians, they usually go in the church when they're unhappy. Oh, Christ, oh, Jesus, oh, God, please do something for me. Help me out. So it says here, if someone sees the Lord, here it's just saying, sees the puja of the Lord, differentiating from the artik. We already read about artik. So if one sees the puja of the Lord, which would mean bathing, dressing, etc., with devotion, faith, and joy, then he attains the eternal service of the Lord. So now the next verse is, this is number 43 of the Limits of Devotion, Nam Shravanam. Hearing the name of the Lord, Garuda Puran. Hearing the verses there. Samsara sarpadashta dashtanashta cheshtaika bejasam krishneti vaishnav mantram shutva mukto bhavin naraha. Hearing the Vaishnav mantra, Krishna, which is the only effective medicine to counteract the snake bite of samsara, a man becomes liberated. So this is called hearing the name of the Lord, Nam Shravan. doesn't even say that you're chanting it yourself and hearing your own chanting. You just hear. You hear Prabhupada singing this song. He also sang Krishna, 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 hey. Which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, chanted in his ecstasy of Mahabhav, searching everywhere for Radharani, all over India. Every nook and cranny going crazy, running far and wide all over India, searching for Krishna. But if someone hears chanting of the Krishna's name, then the samsara, the person can become liberated just by that. Samsara sarp dashta nashta chaistaika vejasam. And this is called charitra shravanam, hearing the pastimes. This general category, number 43, is shravanam. You'll see that if you examine these nine limbs of devotion, Navavida Bhakti, they're all interspersed in this discussion of the 64 limbs. You will find hearing there and chanting, they're all there. So this is Shravanam, and we know Shravanam, Girtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So Shravanam Nama Charitram Gunadinam. So Shravanam Nam, Shravanam Charita, Shravanam Nam Gun Lila, Shravanam. This is 43. Hearing of pastimes of the Lord. This is from 4th Canto Bhagavatam. Piyushashesha Sarita Parita Shavanti Taye Pabantya Vitrisho Nripagada Gharnes Tannas Parshayasana Trid Bayashoka Moha. In that assembly, excellent streams of nectar of the pastimes of the Lord, emanating from the mouths of saintly devotees, flow everywhere. Those who drink the nectar with eager ears, with constant thirst, will forget the necessities of life, hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. Well, this is pretty powerful hearing. People hear all sorts of subjects every day. And they hear newspapers and they hear radios and all kinds of mundane news. And it doesn't have much good effect. It's not really nectar. To hear the 6 a.m. news or the 12 a.m. news or to read the newspaper and hear the topics about the material world told by the newscasters, I don't think you can get free from hunger and thirst. Generally, when you read the news, then there's so much advertising, and that advertising usually increases the fever in the brain. It increases the desire to consume and enjoy and purchase things. So people actually increase their thirst by hearing mundane news. If you listen to radio, then they're always speaking some news and then advertising some product. You must have this, fair and lovely, or some special cream or whatever. And people get brainwashed. So the thirst becomes great. And then what to speak of, hearing mundane news, national news, what do they have? Local news, national news, and international news. So when you hear those news, all that katha, the Gramya katha, do you get free from fear? Do you get free from lamentation and illusion? Not usually. Usually it fills you full of anxiety. You hear that some terrorist just blew up Connaught Place or Carol Bog, and then you're thinking, oh, I have to go out to work today, and I have to pass through Carol Bog. Maybe they'll blow up again today. So generally, this is the result of hearing non-devotional topics, and one becomes more fearful, more in illusion, and more lamentation, and more thirsty and hungry to enjoy the material energy. And when we hear topics about Krishna, we become pacified, like a crying baby. Baby is crying because of hunger and thirst. The mother sticks a bottle in his mouth with a little nipple on it and some warm milk. And then he keeps quiet. He must have seen magic bottle. The mother's magic helper. She has this little bottle and the kid goes wah, wah, wah. And he says, tomp. And it's like works all the time. So this is Hari Gita. The soul is crying like a baby, crying in separation from Krishna. So much anxiety, so much lamentation, so much fear, phobias, fears. And then we start reading Bhagavatam, and we feel so happy. We feel, oh, what, all our problems dissipate. And we absorb our consciousness in these eternal stories about the great devotees and their teachings. And like the other day, of course, a lot of us weren't very conscious at the time, but we were hearing the story of Gajendra Moksha from the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. And such a nice story about surrender and bhakti sanskaras and how he was a king, King Indradumna and King Huhu, these two kings became elephant and crocodile. And he had rendered so many, sang so many prayers and astakams when he was a king, a Vaishnava king. But some sage, as usual, Agastya Muni, he did not receive the sage very properly. It was an etiquette problem again. Behavior is very important in Vedic culture. You can become a lizard or a crocodile or die in 7 days if you mistreat the wrong person at the wrong time. Because they're all high energy people, really high energy people. They had very high vibratory rates and extreme power, powerful individuals in the ancient times. In Kali Yuga, no one has any power. Oftentimes you hear Brahmins at the Sangam say, if you don't give 15,000 rupees donation, I curse your wife to have seven girls. There's a newly married couple, and the wife starts turning white and shivering and trembling. That, yeah. Prabhu, Prabhu, give him something. At least don't give him 10 rupees. At least give him 100 rupees. And he said, forget it. And then she's all worried. Oh, no, he's cursing me. So practically in Kali Yuga, no one has any power. It's all... No one has any, no tapabalam, no vidyabalam. No one has any power of knowledge or power of tapasya or austerity, tapabalam. So there are idle threats about cursing or blessing both ways. It goes zero. It doesn't go anywhere. No power to bless, no power to curse. We're always asking for blessings. It's like going around asking rickshaw wallahs for a 1 crore loan. And they can't give anything because they're bankrupt. So it's very rare to find somebody who can give blessings. So here he's talking about this, seeing the puja of the Lord. It's so beneficial. We can, just by seeing the puja of the Lord and appreciating it, having devotion for it, that's appreciation. Then one can attain the nitya seva of the Lord. So this is, of course, now Shravanam. Hearing, if you hear the name of the Lord, it counteracts samsari, you become liberated. You hear the pastimes, it's like a flow of nectar. You get free from lamentation, illusion, and become satisfied. And guna shravanam. This is from 12th canto Bhagavatam. Yas tuttama shloka gunanuvadat, sangiyate bhikshnam amangalam gana, tameva nityam sunriyada bhikshnam, krishnemalam bhaktim, Abhipsamana, from 12th canto, chapter 3, verse 15. So it's Nam Shravanam, Leela Shravanam, Guna Shravanam. These are three categories of hearing. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord, Uttama Shlokas, glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotee should engage in listening in regular daily assemblies and should continue his hearing throughout the day. So here is Jiva Goswami gives the tika, because it's nityam shrinuyat abhikshanam. Like we say, nityam bhagavat sevaya. And the Bhagavatam says nityam bhagavat sevaya, specifically glorifying the Bhagavatam, that Bhagavatam should be heard every day. Nityam bhagavat sevaya. So here he's saying, the 12th canto is saying that we should hear every day in assembly, constantly, descriptions of the qualities of the avatars of the Lord and his devotees, sung by great devotees. And one should do that with great enthusiasm. So what happens when you perform hearing of the Lord's glories like this? Then pure bhakti to Krishna is attained. One who desires pure bhakti to Krishna should hear in this way. Here Krishna means particularly the Lord in his form of a cowherd boy, since the Bhagavatam denotes this form of the Lord as Bhagavan Swayam. So this Jiva Goswami's very particular purport, that the verse is saying, Krishne malam bhaktim abhipsamana. So Sukadeva Goswami is telling in 12th canto of Bhagavatam, possibly this could be the chapter of Bhagavat Mahatmyam, but he's talking about sadhu sangha, hearing. Bhagavat is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur when he describes the five limbs of devotion, most important, panchanga. He says, Bhagavat shravan rasika bhakta saha sangha. He delineates it like this. Bhagavat shravan rasika bhakta saha sangha. That means that one should hear the Bhagavatam, the Harikatha Bhagavatam, in the association with rasik Vaishnavas, which means very advanced devotees, who are practically, you can say, bhava bhaktas, because only really to let bhakti ras is savored and relished by those at the level of bhav. So it's very rare to find such exalted devotees. But this is the ultimate in hearing. And so powerful this is, Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying, if you execute any of these five limbs of devotion, then you can attain prema bhakti very easily, braja prema. So Jiva Goswami is making that point, that there, we should hear in this way. In what way? It means we should hear in assembly. And regular daily assemblies. So this is, of course, Prabhupada instituted the Bhagavatam class, daily Bhagavatam class for ISKCON, which is a regular practice in other Gaudiya Vaishnav groups to have a daily class. And there's so much power in that Sangha. And just like it's said in some Puranas, that when two Vaishnavas pay obeisances together to each other, with a genuine feeling, oh Prabhu, please accept my obeisances, with appreciation, with respect. And then when they pay obeisances, and they're both offering obeisances on the ground, and then the Lord, the Super Soul, Vishnu, he comes out of the heart of each Vaishnava and he stands over them. So there's three people, there's you, there's the Vaishnava, in between you is the Lord of the heart, that he actually accepts the obeisances and he blesses both parties for their congenial behavior. So this is similar to what happens when one attends Bhagavatam class. There's you, there's the hearer in the Bhagavatam class or in the Harikatha, you the listener, and then there's the speaker sitting on Vyasasan, and then there's the subject matter, the Bhagavat. But actually coming, a third person is there, the Krishna himself also comes. He comes to listen to the Bhagavatam, and he comes to bless everyone that hears the Bhagavatam in a sangha, in association. So hearing an association with advanced devotees is so much recommended, because Krishna likes it. Machitta matkata pranas bodhyantak paraspram katayantas tushanticha ramanticha tushanticha. He says that in the ninth chapter of Gita, Krishna is saying that devotees, they come together in groups and then they purify their consciousness and by hearing about me in groups. And Krishna likes it, because you have to think, what is the spiritual world? We sometimes think that the spiritual world is just going to be me and God, nobody else. The spiritual world is a vast sangha, circle upon circle upon circle of devotees, the inner circle, the outer circle. And they're all relating together. And the Krishna likes that. He likes synergy. He likes harmony. He likes everyone coming together. He likes sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya, he would go out on the sankirtan and collect thousands of devotees together, because there's so much joy. The Lord gets so much joy seeing everyone. When Krishna goes for the rasa dance, he could just play his flute and call Radharani. She's Gandharvika. She's the best dancer. She's the most beautiful and the most satisfying. I just play, call Radharani, put Radharani's name in the Murali, and summon Radharani to come for the rasa dance, and just dance the night away with Radharani. And generally we think like that. We just want to go somewhere and take our most beautiful friend and get in a sailboat and go away to some deserted island and live there happily ever after or something like this, some beloved friend. So I want to just take Krishna and go to some island somewhere and live just me and Krishna forever. But that's not the way Krishna plays it. He calls thousands of gopis. Of course, Radharani, maybe she would like to be called just by herself. And she sometimes demands that kind of special attention. She says, wait a minute, all these gopis and only one Krishna, and I have to share him with so many gopis, I'm leaving. So then she leaves all those thousands of gopis, and Krishna leaves too, just to show her that actually you're number one and there's no one more special than you. But then he doesn't leave the other gopis flat either, because then he expands himself to be with all of them too. So Swayam Krishna is always with Swayam Radha, and Radharani's expansions, her Kayavyuha expansions, they dance with the expansions of Krishna. Vaibhav, Prakash, or whatever. So Krishna likes friends, he likes parties, he likes groups, sangha. You hear this term, sa-anga. With arms, with bodies, sa-anga, sangha, satsang. This is eternal situation, satsang. Satsang means many bodies. Vibrating, eternal vibration, coming together to glorify eternity. You know, many, many limbs, satsanga, right? Satsanga, satsanga. Many bodies come together and make vibrations to glorify the eternal one, to glorify Krishna. And Krishna likes it. He comes there in that satsang. You must have heard that when a group of devotees get together and engage in Harinam, if there's some Shudanam being chanted there, then Gauranga comes down. Gauranga comes and joins the Sankirtan party. Nityananda comes and joins the party, and he dances. And those that have the purity of heart, they see the Lord. So whenever devotees come together and engage in glorifying the Lord, doing seva, nam seva, or shravana seva, we're talking about shravanam, guna shravanam, nam shravanam, or nam shravanam means kirtan. So we're hearing the name, we're listening. The Lord comes in that kirtan party, the panchatattva, they descend. And that was seen in Rathiyatra, when the seven kirtan parties were chanting the holy name. There were four parties of kirtaniers in front of Jagannath's cart, and one on each side and one on the back. So there were seven parties of kirtaniers and Jagannath Rathiyatra. And Lord Chaitanya, and each party was Srivas Thakur in one, and Advaitacharya and another, Nityananda and Haridas and Govindadas, and they're all chanting Shudanam. And then each one of them said, oh, Lord Chaitanya is dancing in my party alone. So that Nam Shravanam was going on there. Everyone's there hearing and chanting the holy name, Nam Shravanam. And then they saw in that Anga, that satsang of Nam Shravan and Kirtan, the Lord started dancing there. You know, this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the Lord comes when the pure name is chanted. And then when in the Panihati festival in Nityananda, and Chaitanya was far away, he wasn't there. But they were serving prasad, and then the advanced devotees, and that sang, they were doing prasad seva together, not catching some prasad and going into a corner, looking around, eating it. They all sat together on the banks of the Ganga and underneath the, whatever that kind of tree was, some tree there, a banyan tree, whatever. And they were honoring, they're doing prasad seva and honoring the chipped rice, Chiradadi Utsav, Panihati festival, Das Goswami Nityananda. And then the devotees saw in that sangha, because it was a sangha, they got this privilege of darshan. Krishna likes to go where many devotees are. It's easier to see Krishna when you're with devotees. By yourself, it's harder to find Krishna. But when you're with devotees, it's easier to find Krishna and easier to see Krishna. So all the devotees are gathering together to take prasadam. And then they saw Lord Chaitanya coming and serving, and he was putting chipped rice on devotees' plates, and they would eat some. And then he would take some off their plates, and he would honor their remnants. God is eating the remnants of his devotees. It's a two-way street. You're making a love offering, bhog offering, and it becomes prasad. And then we take Krishna's remnants, but he also takes the remnants of the devotees. Subal is a devotee. Sridham is a devotee. And sometimes Subal is eating a rasgulla, and he says, oh, they're in Govardhan, at Gwalpokara. And Subal says, oh, Krishna, your mother, she can't cook like mine. Because there's so much boasting goes on, so much pride and boasting one to the other. And Nandalal says, no, my Yashoda's much better cook. Your mother doesn't know cooking at all. She's a terrible cook. No. This rascal is so good. You know, because, of course, all these coward boys, they have some deity in their house. They have some Shalagram or some Narayan deity or whatever, whomever, some. And all the bhog is offered first, so they're all eating prasad, like Krishna eats Narayan prasad every day, offered by Madhu Mangal, and a host of Brahmins offer the bhog and Nandagaon to the Narayan deity. Then he takes it out. This is his leela, because no one should eat food that's not offered to God. It's a great sin to eat food not offered to God. Even Krishna follows the rule. He only eats, he doesn't go down to the hotel or to the 7-Eleven and get some cookies and crackers and potato chips and 7-Up and he doesn't rip off some food somewhere and say, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, and then eat it, and thinking it only takes food that's offered on the altar, cooked many times by Radharani, then offered by the Brahmins to the Narayan deity, their Kula Devata. And occasionally, of course, in the forest, those are special offerings. Those are very special offerings. Then the gopis are preparing. But that's already offered. Because in the forest, when the gopis are offering something to Krishna, it's all natural things. It's all fruits, coconuts and fruits and dates and mango juice and mangoes and bananas and all natural things. But just... You can say, well, here Krishna's eating bhoga. He's not saying Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. And the gopis aren't carrying a little deity around their neck and making an offering. But these natural things that grow on trees are already offered to God. Mother Nature is also a devotee of Narayan. So these are products of Mother Nature, Bhumi Mata. So when all the fruits appear, then she says, please, Narayan, you take them. When Prabhupada... A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was walking in New Vrindavan, and there was some apple tree there. They grow apples there, save. And Prabhupada saw a very nice apple, and they said, oh, get that. And they got it, and they gave it to Prabhupada. And he took a bite and started eating it. And devotees said, well, Prabhupada, it's boga. Prabhupada, it's boga. That apple is boga. Save boga. You didn't offer. It's not offered to Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Everyone's like, a little disturbed. So some sannyasi said, Prabhupada, it's all right, we don't have to, you didn't offer that. You didn't offer that apple. Prabhupada said, these fruits, they're already offered to God. The tree has already offered these fruits to God. And so this is already prasad. This is the gift of Krishna. Krishna has accepted the offering, and now I'm taking. So, of course, that can be a little dangerous, that... Devotees can run around the farms and eat all kinds of fruits and things and say, well, no, you don't have to offer it. But Prabhupada was showing a principle here that we maybe can apply to the gopis when they're in Radhakund and they're preparing fresh fruit plates and mango juice and honey nectars and for Krishna's pleasure after water splashing and fatigue. So at any rate, the whole point is that these activities that we're talking about is... Nam Shravanam, Guna Shravanam, Lila Shravanam, and all these entries from Skanda Puran, or let's say Bhagavat Puran, etc., they're all encouraging this to be done in an assembly, Vaishnava Raja Sabha, and Vaishnava Raja Sabha, in the association of others. There's power in numbers. That's a very common phrase. There is power in numbers. You take one page of the Manhattan phone book, which is an old analogy, and it's quite a fat phone book, because there's a lot of fat people in Manhattan. There's a lot of people in Manhattan. So the phone book is about 5 inches thick or something. And you take one page, it's like tissue paper, you can just rip it. Anybody can take one page and rip it from the book. But if you hand the whole book to the person, say, okay, now rip this whole book in half. And it's only little, tiny little thin, very thin papers. No, you can't. You can be the strongest kshatriya. You can't rip the book in half. All this is 10,000 little skinny pieces of paper joined together. Well, there's power in numbers. So all these many numbers of pages become so much power together that although they're skinny and weak by themselves, when they come together with the other pages of this phone book, no one can rip them in half, isn't it? So devotees by ourselves, our bhakti is quite thin and quite uncondensed. But when we come together with the other devotees, because all the devotees get together, and then Krishna descends there. Krishna descends into the satsang. Satsang. He is that sat aspect of satsang. Sangha. Sangha means anga, means bodies. Many bodies come together. And then sat, satsang, the eternal principle descends there. The eternal principle is Harikatha. And depending on our receptivity, that Harikatha becomes personal. And we see the form of the katha. We say Harikatha is Shabda Brahman, it's spiritual sound. But from sound comes form. So when we hear the Shabda Brahmana Bhagavatam, as we become purified, we hear Bhagavatam, we see the Lord in the sound vibration. And that's when devotees have ecstatic responses. They sit and hear the Bhagavatam and they cry. I've seen in assemblies of Bhagavatam, very advanced Rasik Vaishnavas are speaking, and some devotees are totally absorbed so much in the Harikatha, they're seeing this Shabda Brahman is transforming into Rup Darshan. Rup Darshan, Guna Darshan, Leela Darshan, and devotees are responding by crying. And other devotees are falling asleep. And other devotees are half awake, and other devotees are taking notes. And this person is just transfixed in every word, and eyes closed, and just entering deep into the Harikatha. And that satsang, the eternal is being manifested on the screen of the devotee's mind and heart. And they're responding accordingly by expressing ecstatic symptoms. So this is the extent of satsang. Lila Shravan, Guna Shravan, Nam Shravan.